Hello and welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. On the program, I have these great experts who check in and provide all kinds of terrific information. One of those experts is style expert Michael O'Connor. He's a celebrity stylist seen on numerous television programs and has a lowdown on how to best wear a necklace. Michael?
Thank you, Valerie. If you remember, last week we talked about how the neckline of a garment should be chosen depending upon your face shape and what necklines were best with each face shape. This week, I actually want to stay in the same area, but now I want to talk about necklaces and pendants and how the shape and length can help augment the look you've already created with the proper neckline. But first, let's define the differences between a necklace and a pendant, because a lot of people don't really understand that. A necklace is a piece that fits around the neck where the decorative elements, which usually consist of beads or sections, continue at least up and past the top of the shoulder and often all of the way around. A pendant is usually a chain or cord of some type where the decorative element hangs off of the piece, usually front and center. There are three guidelines that I like to think of when partnering a neckline with a proper necklace. The first one is mirror it, the second one is mask it, and the third one is break it up. So let's look at mirror it. Mirror it means basically you're choosing a necklace that mimics the shape of the neckline and that fits either just inside the neckline onto the skin or outside the neckline onto the garment. Mask it means that you'll completely cover up the neckline of the garment, usually by a bib style necklace or something really big and important, so that the edges of the neckline are not seen. By doing this, you can actually choose a necklace with a different neckline than the garment, and you can really change up the look. And finally, break it up. What this means is that you're going to choose a necklace that is in direct contrast to the neckline of the garment. For example, it's like putting a long strand of pearls onto a boat neck or a crew neck blouse. What this does is that it helps to redefine the neckline shape to some extent so that it can give you the illusion of height on an outfit. So now let's talk about your choice of necklace or pendant from a neckline perspective. You'll remember much of these necklines from last week. Let's start with a turtleneck because it's actually the easiest. Because a turtleneck fits tight up around the neck, almost any necklace or pendant style is going to work. What I think works best with turtlenecks are long chains or beads that will also help give the illusion of height to a body. Additionally, most pendants that are about the 18-inch length are going to also look great. If you're going to wear a choker with a turtleneck, again, remember that the choker must completely cover the top of the neckline in order to look appropriate, because that's going to give the impression that it's part of the decoration of the garment and not something that you've simply slapped on. Crew necklines and boat necklines also tend to look great with longer beads or chains that give the body height. Crew necklines can also look great with a bib or collar style necklace, but remember that in order to look its best, the piece really needs to cover all of the fabric, so again, it looks like part of the garment. If you remember from last week, an empire neckline is usually lower and squared toward the bottom. This works best when you pair it with a squarish or angular type of pendant that is going to be framed by the neckline itself. A collared shirt or V-neck sweater or t-shirt is perfect with a pendant since the pendant will automatically mirror the V-shape of the neckline. Scoop-necked and sweetheart-necked blouses, shirts, and sweaters look great when they actually frame a larger, more important necklace that's got some volume to it and certainly some importance. For a sweetheart neckline that dips toward the center, what you want to do is you want to try to get a necklace that has a little bit more of a dropped center so that it's got some resemblance to the neckline. Strapless dresses are actually wonderful when worn with large bib style necklaces or a choker. There are actually only two styles of neckline that I recommend foregoing a necklace completely for. one-shoulder style gowns and blouses, which create an asymmetric look, look kind of strange with a necklace that is normally centered and symmetrical. A cowl neck on either a blouse or a sweater can be too bulky or fussy for the addition of a necklace. So in both cases, what I suggest is that you really totally forego a necklace in favor of a really great pair of earrings to complement the look. Now, if you want to see this visually, don't forget, you can go to my Facebook page, Michael O'Connor Style. Happy accessorizing with your newfound knowledge of necklines. And until next week, you're fashionable in five. Also, don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Styling Spy. Thanks, Valerie.
Well, thank you, Michael. I really appreciate it. You know, I take all of this information in because when I get ready for the day now, I'm always thinking, what would Michael O'Connor say? It helps me out a lot, I have to tell you. I'm Valerie Smaldone. This is America Weekend. America
Weekend. Think green. Harris with you. Just off Key West, ancient sooty terns, which can stay aloft for years, have a one-shot plan at reproducing.
They make it well known that they're not ready to put down their feet, and the adult females lay an egg. They're about half the size of a chicken, and their egg is close to the size of a chicken egg.
Naturalist Deborah Hass.
So when you're flying around with something like that in your body, and you're a flying machine, it's necessary to get on the ground quickly and lay it. They make a scrape in the sand. That's all their nest is. The adults take turns raising the chick. They go on 12-hour shifts. The female will leave and fly out to sea to feed while the male watches the egg or the chick. And they fly out to the open ocean 50 to 75 miles to the Gulf Stream, where there's an abundance of fish on the surface.
Ancient birds from the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
In 1984, this three-time Indianapolis 500 winner became the first driver to go 215 miles per hour at an Indy qualifier.
Number four, the Pennzoil Chaparral, his hands in the air. Johnny Rutherford wins the 1980 Indianapolis 500-mile race.
So where is Johnny Rutherford now? Johnny was inducted into the International Motorsports Hall of Fame in 1996 and has worked for NBC, CBS, ABC, and ESPN. He serves as the pace car driver at all IRL events. And the first Lone Star Johnny Rutherford Award was presented at the 2013 Indy 500 Breakfast. Johnny Rutherford, still driving in circles. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.